This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
2, 3, 4. If you're looking for advice from a real girl who might not have the answers, but goddamn she'll try, just a tip and you'll be on your way. With Meg and Batoon on Friday.
Welcome to Just a Tip, an advice podcast hosted by me, Megan Batoon, a real girl. I wore this outfit yesterday.
Sure did. I was there with her during breakfast. I was like, I like that. She's like, you know what? I'll wear it all week.
Don't judge me. Please hold all judgment. I will be wearing this for the rest of my life.
It looks major comfortable. It's this royal blue, you look comfortable, but also like chic.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Thanks.
You're welcome. You look like a sexy mom in the garden.
Oh my
gosh. Who's like tending to the roses.
She would be wearing this?
Yeah.
What kind of moms are you looking at?
From porn.
Let me introduce you. You guys sent in questions, and today I have not only a friend to help me help you. Irene is both one of my very best friends and pretty much my right hand. You're like both of my hands.
I'm crying. That's so sweet. I feel very lucky to be a part of your life and to get to be one of those hands, or both.
Do you want to help people?
I would love to help people. I low-key love giving advice, and people rarely ask me for it, but I often give it.
Unsolicited or otherwise, I'm telling you my opinion,
which is true.
Irene has most of the opinions of the world. I feel like it's so funny because you'll have such conviction about things that you've never done.
Yes.
Or don't even know about.
Like, I get mad at things that bring people joy. Like, for some reason, I hate Harry Potter culture.
I know you do.
I know this is controversial. I know you're going to lose listeners, and I'm sorry. Send the hate my way. My issue is, I just don't understand why you would say you went to Hogwarts.
I mean, I get it. You know what it comes down to?
I just want to be mad at it.
You can be mad.
Thank you.
Everyone can be mad at whatever they want to be mad. Yes, you didn't go to Hogwarts. It's not real. But I think it's an inclusivity thing. I think everyone wants to be a part of something. And I think that's maybe why people are so hell-bent on Harry Potter.
I think you're right. I think that's why I'm so mad at it.
Okay. I feel like, just to further my point, I'm going to ask you a question about something that doesn't exist, and I'm sure you're going to have some sort of
opinion. Is it going to be, what house am I in?
No, it's not Harry Potter.
Hufflepuff.
So glad you asked. What are your opinions on shoe sneak steaks?
Shoe sneak steak. I'll tell you one thing about shoe sneak steaks.
What?
When you go into the steakhouse and they put a shoe on your plate instead of a steak, and they sneak it in there.
Oh my God.
Without warning you.
Why don't you like that?
Because I'm paying for a steak. I'm at Mastro's.
So this is one of my favorite stories, is that I love Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
I've been lucky enough to travel with her a couple of times, and anytime she doesn't want to go to the hole in the wall, ramen house in Seattle, she wants to go to Ruth's Chris.
It's and so good.
I think it's consistent. So funny because of course it's a good place. It's a steakhouse. It's good. But I just think it's hilarious that that's her go-to number one favorite restaurant. It's basically a Chili's kind
it's
of a
so,
situation.
It is. It's Chili's plus.
Oh, I know. It's Rare so plus. Good. That's how Megan likes her steak, for anyone who wants to know.
I love Ruth's Chris. And the one time that I was talking about steak, Irene didn't love that I loved Ruth's Chris so much, maybe because of joy that I was exuding.
Sure.
And then you were like, I don't like Ruth's Chris. I'm more of a Mastro's girl. And then, lo and behold, Irene's never been to Mastro's.
I think you found out like a week later too. Like, I don't think it was in the same conversation. I was just being a dick for no reason.
I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, I get it.
So that's all you need to know about our relationship.
Was I mean?
Let's see if we can help other people's. Number one. First off, love you. You're an inspiration to a lot of girls and also guys.
A moment.
That's what I like.
We love equality.
Now for my life and death crisis-ish.
Fuck me up all the way.
Crisis-ish. We're not totally sure if it's a crisis yet. It's crisis adjacent, maybe.
I'm dead.
I like this guy at school, and he's a friend of mine as well as like a big brother.
Do you want to redo that?
Yep. I like this guy at school, and he's a friend of mine as well as a big brother. Maybe I should say.
My brother and I are friends, but I kind of like him. Is incest that bad?
Yo, I feel like for sure people have gone through that.
Yes. I used to actually have a crush on my cousin.
I used to think my cousin was cute, but I would never do anything.
Do you want to hear the weirdest thing I've ever done in my life?
Probably not, but go for it.
One time my cousin stayed over, like at our house. They're from Texas and we were living here in California. And he stayed over and he used a pillow. And then that pillow smelled like him. So for the rest of, you know, that like month after he left, I used that pillow because it smelled like him and I liked it.
Oh my gosh.
I've never told anyone that.
Oh, wow. Now a lot of people know. Have you ever?
Probably for a reason.
Have you ever liked a guy so much that when he, like you were dating him or something, and when he went away, you bought his cologne and sprayed your own clothes or like pillowcases with it so that you would sleep and think of him?
I wanted to, but I was too poor, so I would just get the samples from magazines, but I would do that.
Aww.
Or
how many magazines did you have to reach to find the one?
My magazine budget really exceeded the price of the cologne.
Would have been cheaper to buy a trio pack of the cologne. A lifetime Costco supply, if you will. Are you ready for the question?
I will. Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, I realize that I do not need to take out some of the words. I like this guy at school, and he's a friend of mine, but is like a big brother to me. There we are. I have a friend that can read tarot cards, and she told me that this guy and I can be a thing, but we will end up breaking up and won't be friends again after. I really like this guy, and I don't completely know if what her cards say are true. Is it worth it to risk my friendship with him if he feels the same way? Please help. Thanks, friendships or relationships.
Ooh, that's a moment. Okay.
This is a huge one because, okay, first of all, tarot cards. Let's dish.
Let's goss.
Have you ever done it?
Here's the thing.
I used to do tarot card readings.
Here's the thing. I'm a tarot card. I used to do this thing called angel cards. And it was like tarot cards, but I think it was more like, kind of like words of wisdom and like piece of advice, not necessarily like this is what's going to happen, but it was kind of like if you happen to pick this, it means you should be thinking of something like this.
Oh, I like that.
I like it too. And like I do honestly believe in like not like too many coincidences and like stuff like that, but I don't know if like picking up cards will tell your future.
Mm-hmm.
However, I also think your friend was just giving like low-key trying to tell you like, hey, you could date him, but, like, you might not be friends.
I mean, that can go for anything. You don't need a card to tell you that.
What's your experience with tarot cards?
Oh, gosh. How much time do you have? I have a lot of experience. And, well, in tarot cards, like, kind of. But, like, so I've been to a few psychics.
Okay.
This I know. And I think they're, like, pretty spot on for the most part. Like, they'll do like past, present, and future. And obviously, like, you don't know what the future is.
Sure.
But the past and present, like, most of the times it's spot on.
Well,
which is weird.
I remember the last time you went to a psychic, uh-huh. You were kind of curious what your love life situation was going to be.
Always.
Every day. You're like, when I go to Starbucks. But it was interesting because she ended up saying something that was kind of accurate.
I think. Absolutely accurate.
And that was like a future thing.
She's because I went in January and she was like, by March, you're going to be in a relationship with like, and she said like vowels and like certain letters that this guy's name would start with. And it did. And I was that, like,
and you didn't want it to happen then, necessarily.
Yeah. I was like, oh, if it's this person, I hope she's wrong. But like, she wasn't wrong.
She wasn't.
If she's like looking into her, is it the third eye? How many eyes is it?
I think it was her fourth eye. Just her butthole.
She had a huge face.
She did that YouTube challenge where you draw a bunch of eyes on your face.
She's a Men in Black monster.
I'm dead.
She was right, even though I didn't want that to happen. But like, if she's looking into the future and sees anything, like that was true.
That's it. It did happen.
So I don't know. I'm still like trying to figure out what I believe in with tarot and psychics.
I don't think it's impossible at all.
Yeah.
I do. I think that, I mean, this is going to sound silly, but I think that psychics are probably way more true than tarot cards.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. The girl that said that she didn't do cards.
Yeah.
She just held my hand and it felt nice for the first time.
Cute. Human interaction?
No. I pay
craves human touch.
A lot of, I go to the doctor just so people can ask me what's wrong.
I go to the doctor so he could put his hand on my back.
Oh, man.
Well, okay, so what do you think she should do with the boy who's like her big brother?
That's such a weird situation because I have a friend like that.
Yeah.
I have a friend that's like a big brother to me that I've like been involved romantically with. Mm-hmm. And that is a really weird scenario. We weren't friends. Like we had a falling out to where when our relationship ended kind of, that we weren't friends for a long time and then we finally were able to be friends. It sucks.
Was that hard for you? Losing your friendship was also like losing that older brother kind of guidance. Yeah. Was that hard for you?
Hell yeah. Well, it's like that with any relationship too. Like if you're with someone for long enough, they become your best friend.
Yeah.
So you're losing your boyfriend or girlfriend and your best friend.
I mean, I have been romantically involved with my big brother's friend.
I thought you were just going to say your big brother. And I was like, we got to cut this short.
Coming out. I've dated my big brother's friends. So it's kind of like this like, you know, older, protective, sort of like older guy who wants me to be doing well and like happy and safe and all that stuff. And it is so nice to have that like very close bond. And when it's romantically involved, it can like really grow that relationship.
Yeah.
But I would say if you want to date this guy, dope. But like you do have to be prepared.
Yeah.
To lose that friendship. Because, like, tarot cards or not, that's just the brass tacks of it all. Like, the brass tracks of it all. That's just, like, tarot cards or not, that's just how it's going to end up. But I don't think Megan or myself could sit here and say, don't date him, because that's just going to make you be like, oh my God, he's so hot.
Yeah, or like, what if? I'm constantly, I feel like, living in a what if, which is terrible. Oh my gosh.
And you hate what ifs.
Well, I don't hate them.
Well, you don't like living in them.
True. Like, if you're like, what if we had In-N-Out today? I'd be like, dope.
We'll do it.
But yeah, it's like,
we've already had In-N-Out today.
I'm chomping on my last bit of my double-double right now. I've been in a situation where I don't want to get into a relationship because I'm like, what if this other guy is here? So, like, that sucks because you're kind of putting your own happiness or whatever's meant to be on hold because you think something's better. But in this case, I feel like the question asks if he feels the same way, is it worth it to risk the friendship? I guess that's like, how good is the friendship?
Also, is he older? I would love to. I mean, he's probably older.
It sounds like, I mean, he's like a big brother.
My thing is,
so maybe
I live for the, like, the flirtationship.
You're welcome. I love that. Flirtationship? Wow.
You're welcome.
Wow.
This is my podcast now.
And you are Russian all of a sudden?
No, you know, I'm the captain now.
Oh, no. I thought you were just like commandeering something. And so you had to get this Russian persona when you're overthrown. What's already here?
Yeah, like I live for a flirtationship. So like maybe you can just like flirt with him. And like if you kiss, cool. And like it doesn't have to be one way or another. Like a gray area isn't always a great area.
It's never a great. That's a great thing too.
But
I hate
it. Could be fun to just like flirt and like see where it goes, because like maybe this fool is like the guy you're supposed to date for 5 years.
Yeah, or forever. They say that you're supposed to marry your
or
best.
Or forever.
I'm all or nothing. What are you talking about? True. They say you're supposed to date your best friend, or you're supposed to marry your best friend. So if he is your best friend, maybe he's the one. But it's hard to know. But yeah, I think like flirt and see what you guys both think.
Especially if you don't know how he feels yet. Definitely don't jump right into something. Like test the waters, flirt. Like, I mean, I'm going to give bad advice. Okay. Just a preparation. Maybe flirt with other guys. See what he says there. Like, yeah. If he's kind of like your older brother, maybe it'll come out in that way. Like, I don't like you flirting with other guys. And yeah. You're like, oh, no, why?
That's so funny. That's what happened with me and the guy we were just talking yes. about. Because he would, like, date all these other girls or sleep with all these other girls. And I'm like, yo, they're level one. Like, they're not smart enough for you. And they just, like, make you feel validated because, like, they think you're funny.
Yeah.
Which, like, you are funny. But, like, you need someone else. You need me.
He did need you. And he doesn't have you. So, so he's missing out.
We're friends now, which is fine, but, like, that's the real risk. If you date somebody, just know that the friendship is on the line. So if they're a good enough friend, they might be around after, mm-hmm. if it's really, like, if you're that close with them. But if not, just tread lightly and know that that is an option.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's perfect, the way you said that.
Someone else was, like, I think it's another guy that I dated that was, like,
okay, I'm... Okay, Megan.
It comes out that I'm, like, never not.
You dated everybody?
What did he say exactly? He said, if you were close enough to date, there's something that you like about that person. So why would you not be friends after the fact?
Oh, yeah. You've told me that.
I was like, that's interesting.
I believe that half and half.
It's hard because emotions.
Yeah. Like, I dated this one guy for about a year. We were in a long distance relationship. Then I moved across the country to, like, I said it was to go to school, but it was really just to be with him. I mean, I was going to school, but.
Oh, my gosh.
It
Heartbreak University.
I'm unwell. I still am. I'm still heartbroken. LOL. I'm not. He was a piece of trash. But
it was just actually a McDonald's rapper that you were in a serious relationship with.
It's like when people marry the Eiffel Tower. But I married literal garbage. Yeah, so there was this guy, and he and I were like, there's a whole bunch of other baggage that went along with this whole, like, the whole relationship, not just our dating, like the whole from when we met to when we stopped. But he and I were like best friends. We were like drinking buddies and we hung out all the time and we could go to the beach and we could be at a party and like have fun. Like everything was awesome. And then we started dating and I just saw this other side of him that completely changed everything for me.
Yeah.
And while I agree that if you date somebody, you obviously liked something enough to still want to be friends with them. But like, I think... Also, when you date somebody, you see a different... It's like when you... Yeah. Like what you always say, when you can travel with somebody and you'll see this very different side of them.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, they were in your life for a reason, but I don't know if they should stay in it all the time.
Yeah, not all the time. Obviously, you have to shut people out after you break up.
Yeah.
But I don't like when I just am no longer in contact at all with some of my exes. Some of them I'm like, yeah, stay in the past for sure.
Yeah.
But I would like to be cordial with some of them. I mean, there's a few that I just really don't talk to, but it would be nice just to be like, yo, even though we didn't work out, like, I still respect you and I think you're, like, killing it and, like, I really am rooting for you.
Same. I 100% agree. I would love to still be in contact with one or two of my, like, ex people just because I want to know about them. And I cared about and, like, lived with for some time. And, like, we were together for 3.5 years. Like, that's still, like, a significant fraction yeah. of my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
All I really want to know is why you took your current girlfriend to Europe and you told me that you would spend $10 on me, but you would on weed.
Oh, my gosh. $10.
I told you that story, right?
Yes. I told you the one where that guy didn't buy me a $13 salad.
Yes. You tell yours and I'll tell mine because I feel like people would maybe want to know that.
It's just like, I mean, Irene and I talk about this all the time, and I guess it's a little bit of an archaic thing to wish for, but like if you're a dude or like trying to pursue someone or show that you can provide in the future, pay for a meal or two.
Pay for the first 3 dates.
Yeah.
And then let me pay for the fourth. Like,
or at least offer.
It's the thing is, I'm going to pull this card out. My dad always told me that if a man doesn't come to your door, and this is me, I'm a straight white woman, so like...
Straight white female.
This is like what he told me. So granted, I like don't know the other realms of dating, but me as a straight white male, my dad always told me...
As a straight white male. Tell me what you want as a straight white male.
I want puss and I want beer.
Oh my god. Okay, as a street walker, what's your rate?
I just not much.
A piece of half-eaten cold pizza.
I need that McDonald's wrapper again. As a straight white female, my dad always said a man should come to your door. He shouldn't honk his horn.
Yes.
He shouldn't text you when he's outside.
No.
He should. You and my dad would clearly get along. He should pay for your meal.
Yes.
He should open your car door for you. And as we've discussed, you should then reach over and open the car door for them.
Let's take a little bit more time on this note here.
Let's only talk about this all podcast.
Fine.
Okay.
Definitely do this if you're a girl and a guy opens a door for you.
Which he should be doing. Granted, it's
he should be doing it.
Rare. I've only had a couple of people open my car door for me.
If you are a guy, open the damn door. Do
any door.
Any door. I'm talking dollhouses.
You're walking down the street, open doors to establishments that you're not even going into. Just in case I feel like it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I think I told you, like, when I go out on dates, which is not often, but if a guy, what?
You're so relatable. When I go out on dates, never, I stay inside.
When I do go on dates and the guy is waiting out, so he'll, like, come to my doorbell.
Oh, you love this. Yeah.
And they'll ring the doorbell sometimes, or, like, knock on the door, and then, like, they're parked out front. I love this for some reason. I don't know why. I just think it's so sexy.
It's very, like sexy James Dean.
Oh my gosh. They like lean against the car. They have like they're all their way on
you
one foot.
You just did it like against the chair and it was hot. And I was like, I want to go out with her.
They have all their weight on one foot. They cross the other foot so their toes on the ground. Mm-hmm. And then they have their hands in their pockets.
Yeah.
And they're just looking at you.
And they're wearing a leather jacket with a white t-shirt.
And they're James Dean.
And then you wake up. No, it is the sexiest thing. Nobody's ever done that for me.
Oh, my God.
But I know
can't
you
wait.
Have
it's
somebody in your past life.
In my past life? I'm painted
I do
out
read
to
tarot
be...
cards.
I'm painted out to be this, like, energy cluster. I've had two guys in my past that have done that, and
do
I
that.
Love
and it's
it.
A very sexy, like, it's just what I'm attracted to is just, like, a man being a fucking stereotypical man and, like, providing and being big and being strong and like, can you open the pickle jar for me? Even though I can open the fucking pickle jar.
Yeah. Okay. What's our point?
Oh. Ugh. 30 minutes in. My advice to friendships or relationships, right? Oh, my point was one time I had an ex-boyfriend tell me that he would not spend $10 on me, but he would spend $10 on weed. So it wasn't even a thing that happened. It was just like, he was like, P.S., this is what I value you as. And I was like,
did he ever call you like his little nugget?
Because then I can get it. His little OG perp.
I'm tired even thinking about guys not respecting me.
Megan does not like not being respected. If you ever meet Megan, if you're a fan, let me give you one piece of advice. Be respectful.
Be respectful. This is a thing that everyone should know. And it's funny that no one is.
True.
Okay. Did we help?
I think so. Be cute. Oh. If something happens, dope.
Yeah, flirtationship is my favorite place. Test the waters and then see what's up.
Hope we helped.
I'm a 12-year-old girl.
I love it.
Who is about to turn 13 and is concerned about what to do if I have my first period at school.
Oh my God, I love her.
Any tips? Tricky 13.
Yes, I do have tips for days.
What are your when did you get your first period?
At school.
Same, seventh period.
That's funny. Actually, shouldn't have been
it
first.
It should have been first. That would have been better.
Actually, I'm sorry. I didn't get my first period at school, but I got a very bad period at school. It must have been like my third or something, like when I still didn't know how to do with it. You tell me your story.
I was in seventh period. It was history.
What grade?
I meant seventh grade. I don't know what period it was.
Okay.
Only one period mattered, and it was the one that was happening to my uterus.
It was the one that I was crying about.
For years. I was in history class. I think the
what were you studying?
We were reading Animal Farm for some
you
reason.
You hate that book.
I hate that
Why
book.
Why were you reading that? Oh, yeah, okay.
Mr. Nealon. Unless it was AP Lang. But for some reason, I thought it was
you
history.
You were in AP fucking Lang?
You were
in seventh grade?
What were you doing?
Picking my nose.
Cool, cool. So we were reading Animal Farm, whatever it may be, and for some reason we had popcorn, and
love
that's
that.
Weird. already. Sure. I don't know why we had popcorn. Maybe we were, I think we like read the chapters and then we would watch a little bit of the movie if it was adapted into a film.
Oh, gotcha.
Who even knows?
That's cool.
So I got my period and I was so like confused. Like my mom had never talked to me about it.
Really?
Did yours?
I think once I hit like 11-ish and like the puberty talk happened at school, I'd be like, yo, mom, like, what's up? And she'd be like, oh, this will happen. And like, so don't be scared if it does. And I was like, okay.
Okay. Yeah. I think that if my mom did, that was the extent of it. She was like, your body's going to do something weird. And I was like, okay.
Think of how weird you think it's going to be. Multiply it by 50.
It's crazy.
That's before we even get into it. I want to tell this girl, Tricky 13, like, it is so weird. But it's also, and I hate to be like the mother, but it is so natural.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. When I do give my little tidbit of advice, like keep that in mind because it's important to know like it's actually the weirdest and like grossest thing.
Grossest, mainly.
Truly. But like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because like half of everybody that you know deals with it.
Yeah, for sure.
And truly deal, like we have to deal.
It's a lot to cope with.
So you're in seventh grade, Animal Farm, painting the picture. What are you wearing? That's important because I know you remember.
No, I don't. Honestly, I don't remember, and thank God. But I remember being so confused on what to do, and then I was like asking some of my other friends that I think were older / have been through the period stage, the period.
I'm dead. That's very funny.
I was like, what am I supposed to do? And someone gave me a tampon, and I was like, what is this?
No, for your first time?
First time ever.
Just a tip, don't use a tampon your first time.
No, definitely don't. I'll insert this tiny little tip before I continue.
Insert
right here. Tricky 13, if you think that you'll probably have your period, which is very likely, I would just have, like, pads in your backpack, like, at all times. Just have, like, one pad, just being ready for it, because that's going to be a lifesaver for you.
And a pad is known as, like, a maxi pad, a liner,
I would go for a straight pad because a liner is tiny.
Liner is tiny, but just in case, like, it's the thing that looks like an hourglass. Like, don't get confused.
Yeah.
Use a pad for a while.
For sure. So I wish I had that advice because I did not. And so, the girls were old enough and, like, well-versed in period having. So she gave me a tampon, and I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? And, like, YouTube didn't exist, so I couldn't be like, how to put a tampon in, which would have been awesome.
Also,
like,
how would you have T9 texted that into your web browser?
True. Yeah, I was literally typing on a tablet, like, from the Stone Age.
I'm dead.
And so they had textbooks, and they were trying to show me, like, how to put it in with a textbook.
Oh, my God.
And so I was like
textbook vagina lips?
Yes. And I was like, okay. So I went to the bathroom, and I was there for, like, 20 minutes, like, crying my eyes out. And so my friend came in, and she was, like, helping me out, but it still, like, was so painful. Because when you start – this is so, like – I'm sorry if you're a guy listening, but this is probably very helpful to some
girls. If you have a little sister, listen up.
Yeah. So, relay this information to her. So you're going to be confused when you put in a tampon, but what you have to know is, like, put it in farther than you think it should go. Because if you put it in halfway, you're going to have to rip it out because it's going to be so painful.
Oh.
And you're never going to want to use it again.
Every single female listening knows exactly that feeling. And they're like, no,
if you don't
Tricky 13.
I know. You have to go for it. Like, you have to, like, know that this is what you're doing.
And keep in mind, the applicator, the plastic part.
Yes.
Nothing plastic should be in you when you're done with your tampon.
Yes.
The plastic applicator, there should be two little parts, like, for most tampons, not those, like, weird small ones.
Yeah.
But, like, there should be two little parts that, like, interlock with each other. Both of those should be out of your body.
Yes.
Because my friend's first tampon experience, she left them in.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Is she still alive?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No, she had a really rough time. And then it, like, slid out.
Oh, that's disgusting. Also, another tip, just, like, to be nice to other people, if you're in a public restroom, wrap the applicator before you put it anywhere.
And wrap a used tampon.
Don't be gross.
Stop.
Okay. What is your period story?
So I got my period once when we were on, like, a family trip, and we had to be on a plane for hours. So that was just, like, a JK, but I was next to my mom, and she was telling me about it, so that was fine.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. My mom's really cool. She's always been, like, very open and great. But my worst, second most embarrassing period story, I'll tell you the first one in private.
Oh, my gosh.
It's bad. I was in yearbook. So we were staying after because yearbook was like after an after school activity. So my dad was coming to pick me up at like 4:30 with my brother. And I had had my period. This must have been like my third or fourth period. So it was still like kind of new and weird. So it's rounding about 4:30 and everybody's getting up and putting their stuff away. And I sit up and like something feels weird in like my butt area.
Yes.
And
I'm listening.
And I stand up and I look down and there's blood covering the chair.
What color chair? Is it blue?
It's a blue plastic chair.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Wait. How long were you sitting in this chair?
An hour and a half, 2 hours.
Shoot.
Yeah, dude. And when you just get your period, like, it feels weird. So, like, you don't really know, like, what's overflowing and what's, like happening down there. So yeah. It's kind of just like, oh, I know something weird is happening, so I'm just going to let it happen. Or maybe I'm just dumb.
Or just sweating a lot.
Which I do. I'm sweating right now. And so I sit up and I'm like mortified, but I kind of like realize how funny it is. I'm like, this is hilariously comically bad.
Yeah.
And so I like get like those little yellow tissues from your school's front desk.
Why are they yellow? Number one.
I have no idea.
Have they been sitting out in the sun?
And why
since
are they
the
boxes
20s?
Of six? Since the 20s.
Since the first period.
So I try to wipe my chair as best as I can, and then I'm...
Is anyone looking at you?
I think it's, like, two girls, and they're my friends, so I'm just like, ah, and I'm, like, cleaning it up, and my dad's there. I saw his car. So I am pouring blood down
what
my pants.
What color pants?
They're, like, light blue.
Like denim?
No, we had uniforms, so it was like a washed navy.
How washed was this navy to be light blue?
It was, like, a dark periwinkle.
Okay.
This is how you know two women are talking. A washed navy, a dark periwinkle. So I'm dripping blood and it's getting everywhere. And I run up to the car like laughing so hard. I'm like, Dad! And I turn around and I show him and he's like, that's fucking gross! And
then, he's like, cool tie-dye pants, kid!
Nice. Nice addition, correct? So he and my brother start laughing, too, because I'm laughing so hard. Because at this point, like, what am I going to do? Cry?
Yes, which is what I would have done.
So I'm laughing so hard. And my dad's like, you can't fucking sit on the chair like this because it's cloth seat.
Of course.
Well, of course. And so I'm sitting in the chair.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh. She's in a full-on bridge.
I'm like crab walking off of my dad's minivan chair. And the ride home's like 15 minutes, so bump and turn, we're all just like cracking up so hard.
Your glutes are on fire.
Yes. And then I got home, and I guess like it must have been 2 or 3 years later or something. My dad told me that that's like one of the proudest moments he had of me because
oh
he was like,
gosh.
That was like a mortifying thing
sure.
that you know, like really took in stride and just like laughed about because like you had two ways to go. You could either cry or laugh, and I'm really proud that you laughed. And so, like, back to my earlier point, everybody has this happen, dude. Like, so, like, if some piece of shit 13-year-old boy is gonna make fun of your pants if you get your period and there's blood on them, he's the asshole.
Oh, for sure.
Your body is being a body. Like,
and you're growing up in front of his eyes, and he's gonna be a little kid forever. When they're 30, trust me, 13, listen to me right now. When they're 30, they're going to be as immature as they are right now.
She's correct. She's correct. She has experience. But yeah, girl, I hear you being nervous, and I'm there with you. And I still get nervous if I'm like, oh my God, do I have blood on my pants? Because like, mostly because like, they're expensive pants. And yeah, and like, take it in stride. If somebody makes fun of you, be like, dude, I know. It's hilarious.
For sure. I think laughing at yourself, even in this situation and every other situation
forever.
It's exactly what you said. You can either choose love and fear is the same as choosing crying and laughing. I would choose
love
and laughing.
She's a preacher? Wait, so what's your total, like, last bit?
My main bit would be have a pad on you.
That's very smart.
Yeah.
Dope.
Ready to take a break?
Yes, ma'am.
We're going to take a break while Irene gives us a bonus piece of advice you can find on meganbattoon.com/podcast, and we'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back.
Hi.
Hi.
I missed you. I was right here.
Most of you know that Irene is my assistant, but you probably don't know that she's a badass baker.
Cries.
What kind of stuff, for the people that don't know, what kind of stuff do you make?
I make these cookies that kind of like say stuff on them that's not always the nicest.
Such as,
like, go fuck yourself, or like...
Oh, the classic, I hate you.
I've done I hate you. I've done like, you're a C-plus person.
Cute.
You're only okay. Sometimes I'll make cakes that say like, I think we should see other people.
I love that. Breakup cakes. Can I order one?
Yes, please. Yeah, I bake other stuff like brownies and stuff too, but I really like doing those. But thank you. That means a lot to me that you think that.
That they're good?
I mean, that you like that I do it.
I think they're great. Whenever you, whenever you start selling them across the country, let me know. Because I will move to other places so that I make your life more hard.
I want them shipped to Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia.
Has an accent?
Only when I say Nova Scotia. It just comes out. It's so
just
weird.
Just that one time.
Only the... No. Anytime I say Nova Scotia is the only time I have an accent. You ready to help more people?
I would love to.
Okay. This one is really interesting, and I'm a little nervous.
I'm so stoked because normally we go through questions together and like you'll ask the guests and stuff, and I have no idea what these are.
I know.
I'm happy.
This one's wild, so strap in.
I'm strapped.
Hit me with a seatbelt. Oh my God, I have to leave.
Hit me with a seatbelt. Slap my line and hit me with a seatbelt.
Slap my line with that seatbelt. Okay. Megan and Irene.
Oh my God, hey.
I've been married to my wife for almost 7 years and have known her for almost 20 years.
Holy shit.
I know. That's how long I've been alive. Their whole relationship is my life. 20 plus 7.
Well, he's been married to her.
So 20 minus 7.
I was
seven.
Like, you're not 20.
Have known her for 20. Thank you.
Is this a guy or a girl? Do we know?
This is a boy.
Okay.
Yes. We have two amazing children, and all things considered, we have a good life together. Over the past few years, we've begun to have communication and intimacy issues. My wife has said that she doesn't have any sex drive anymore and doesn't know why. I recently came back from a guy's trip where I was at a bar and approached by a woman who challenged me to a game of pool. We played for a few hours, and she was totally into me. I didn't hide the fact that I was married, but this girl didn't care. The combination of this girl's pool play, number one.
I'm dead.
Number one, she's great with sticks.
Did he write that?
No.
Oh my God, dead.
Can you imagine? Her attractiveness and how she was into me made me feel alive again.
Oh.
I know. Towards the end of the night, she made it very clear that she wanted more things to happen, and that's when I decided to leave with my friends. Good guy.
Nice dude.
Yes. We didn't exchange information and nothing happened. With that being said, I can't get this girl out of my head, and I feel this has a lot to do with the communication and intimacy issues I've been having with my wife. I even feel a sense of guilt just for feeling this way about another woman. What should I do? Sincerely, Concerned in Milwaukee.
Whoa.
Nutso.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know what being married is like, but I feel like I can relate to some of these same sentiments in relationships.
I don't know what being in Milwaukee is like.
Where is that?
Wisconsin.
Ugh.
That took, just so everybody knows, that took me a second.
Yeah, you're really quick on Google.
She
didn't look anything up.
Jesus, dude. Okay, so.
Okay, here's my question.
Hook me up.
He says that the wife said that she doesn't have any sex drive anymore and doesn't know why. Have you ever felt that way about being in a relationship where you don't want to sleep with your boyfriend?
Yes, dude. It's not a great.
It's the worst.
Feeling. That's when, to me, I know a relationship is dead.
100%.
Is like when I have to like go to all ends of the earth to try and find something that I know used to be there but isn't anymore. It's really sad. It's hard. And I'm sure that it sounds like, you know, I'm just going to call him Milwaukee. It sounds like Milwaukee and his wife are happy in other places.
Milwaukee.
But like,
I'm so sorry.
I'm dead.
I had to interrupt you just to get that out.
It was worth it.
Milwaukee and Milwaukee.
That's fucking funny. So I'm sure that since it seems like they do have a solid, like, relationship and foundation and, like, love for one another, she's probably feeling terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, she's either, of course, she doesn't know where it's coming from, and, like, I obviously don't either, but she's, in my experience, she's probably feeling unsexy or unwanted or unloved or insecure about herself. Like, maybe it's probably nothing that he's doing.
Yeah.
It's probably just her own feelings, but that doesn't stop that they're there and that she's not wanting to sleep with him, because I know that that's when I'm usually like, I clock out of a relationship.
Same.
Like, yeah.
That's the whole thing too. Like, a lot of times when that happens, when I don't want to share that with somebody anymore, that's not the first time that I've been like, I'm out of this. Like,
yeah.
I'll mentally be clocked out, because your mind can lie, but your body won't lie. Like, that's a subconscious, like, visceral inherent thing that you cannot control.
Yeah.
And that's basically, yeah, that's like your body being like, no, we will not allow this.
Because, yeah, exactly. Even if there is full consent and she wants to and everything is like going well, like there are some just physiological responses that the things that need to happen to make it work won't.
It's biology. It's not me. It's biology, baby.
Sorry.
That's what you should say. Damn. No, definitely don't say that. Well, that's different because they've been married. Can you imagine if the difference between that and like what we're talking about is they have been together and married for 7 years with kids. So obviously
there is
something here, and it's not something you can just write off.
Yeah.
I think that if it's something that she is going through and she doesn't know why, maybe she's feeling, like you said, in like unsexy, or even like sometimes I feel uncared for or unworthy.
Yeah.
So maybe you can do something that makes her feel a little bit more wanted. Like maybe bring home flowers one day, or cook for her, or like rub her feet one day, like, or make like, her feel good.
I 100% agree. And you have no idea how far hearing you look really sexy, or
yes,
you look, it doesn't have to be about sex. It could be that color looks beautiful on you. Like, just noticing something about somebody is so impactful. Like, yesterday I bake for a bar and I was dropping cookies off, and the owner was like, "You changed your hair. It looks really beautiful."
He noticed?
Yes.
Wow.
We have a date.
That's funny.
That was so sweet. And he's not like, you know, somebody I'm dating. Neither of us are really interested in each other, I don't believe, but it was just so nice to be.
I don't believe.
I don't think so. It was just so nice to be.
My body will say different.
It was so nice to be noticed.
Yeah.
I mean, I have an idea that I think is bad.
Oh. Okay.
First of all, I'm just going to jump right into advice.
Yes, that's what this is all about.
Oh. This isn't Doughboys?
No boys. You are a Pillsbury Doughboy.
I'm cute. I think you should try to focus on what's up with Milwaukee. Like, see, and like, sit her down and be like, "Hey, I know you told me you've had no sex drive recently. Is there, like, 100% be open and honest with me? You've known me for 20 years.
Yeah.
We are best friends. Tell me what's going on." And if she tells you and you guys can figure it out, so cool and great. And if she doesn't really know, be like, "Okay, was there anything that I can do that would make you feel wanted or sexy?" Or, and it's not even about wanting to have sex with me. It's just about, what can I do to make you feel good?
How is this bad advice?
Because it's getting to the bad advice.
Okay. Because this is perfect.
So
they said they had communication and intimacy. That solves the communication issue and will maybe solve the intimacy.
Have you had communication issues before in your relationships?
Yes.
How have you solved them?
They're built on communication issues.
I'm unwell.
I solve them by communicating. That's the weirdest thing. It's like you can't have a relationship without knowing you have to communicate.
Yeah.
Which is, I need to tell myself that because literally this past week I like shut someone out and I was like, can't do this.
Wait, do you have any like...
I'm the issue. It's so apparent to me that now I am the issue.
You're not the issue. It's hard to communicate. So that's my thing. I was a communication major, so maybe I don't have the most issues. But here's my question is like, when you notice there's a communication issue, is there like, do you have like a go-to move or go-to like formula of things that you'll say? Or like what, once you have isolated the issue, how do you go about fixing it usually?
To be honest with you, I think I'm on the receiving end. I think that they are the ones that have to, because I do think that I'm the one that, like, if I feel like I'm about to be hurt, I'd close off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, nope, got to put my armor on. You're not getting to me. I've been through this before. And so someone will have to come and be like, we need to talk. We need to, like, address that we have the communication issue and, like, really do it. There is one time that I got into a little bit of a tiff with a guy that I was seeing, and I could tell that he was stonewalling, and we were just like starting about to like watch a movie, and I knew that if I didn't bring anything up, it would be weird the whole entire movie.
Yeah.
And so I like held his hand and I was like looking at him in his eyes and like what?
You just sounded like how a robot would say that they looked at somebody. I was looking at him in his eyes.
How to communicate with humans, number one, look at their eyes with where your eyes should be. And I was like, I was showing him physically that I cared about him. I was like stroking the back of his head. And I was like, let's talk about this. Like, I want to know why this is bad. Let's fix this. I don't want to have a bad time with you.
Yeah.
That's, I guess, the only answer I could give you. Because other than that, I mean, I make sure that they know that I care about them. And then we can proceed. Because if intentions are there that are beneficial, I think everyone's going to be on the same page. Actually, one of my acting friends was telling me this the other day, that in argument scenes, people always like are trying to play the argument.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, there's so much underlying that both of these people are arguing because they want something good out of it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to argue.
No.
So it's like you have to read between the lines of someone yelling at you. And it's like, why are you so upset? It's either like their need for something or they want you to realize something as well. Like both people need something.
That's also how you can tell if somebody's a bad person, is if they are arguing just to argue because they feel like they need that power.
Oh.
If it's like, that's how my ex-boyfriend was. He would argue just to feel like he could have control over me because he'd know I feel bad.
Right.
And where what you're saying is like, people are usually arguing to better something. Sometimes if they're not, which it doesn't sound like this is his situation, but that's how you can kind of tell somebody sucks.
What about you?
Well, before me, ugh. I have a question for you. So you, as maybe Milwaukee is the same way as you and will stonewall and close off. So like, as a beautiful and strong woman who, I'm not talking about you. No, I am, obviously. As this beautiful, strong woman who you are, and like, she has to be too. She's a mother, and I'm sure that, you know, she's worked so hard for this relationship and you work so hard mm-hmm. in your life. What is something that somebody could come to you with and say, I can see you're closing off?
Yes.
What is the next thing that they would say that would allow you to feel open and want to be honest with them? Like, I feel you're closing off blank.
Maybe if it was like, okay, I'm going to role play again.
Okay.
You or me / Milwaukee.
Wait, you be you and I'll be your partner.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, Megan.
Wait.
Okay. I don't think this is a good start.
If that was actually it. Okay, I just
Megan, wait, leaves the relationship, moves out.
Can you just hold this really quick? It's a quick time lapse of me packing my shit up. I just want to tee up what we're doing just in case someone's driving and like we start having a conversation that weird. So Irene is going to play a person that's trying to salvage a relationship when she knows that I'm closing off. I'm going to be playing the closed off partner.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. And scene.
Hey, Megan, I was wondering if we could talk for a minute.
Okay. I'm also the narrator. Irene shifted her eyes and raised her eyebrows like this is not going to be worth it and there's a lot to work with here.
Okay, great. I just kind of noticed, you know, since we've been dating for a while, it seems to me as though you've been kind of closing off lately just towards me communication-wise. And I was just wondering what I could do to hear you. I want to know what it is that's bothering you and if I'm the issue or if there's something else going on. I just want to know how I can make this better because I can tell you're unhappy and I want to make sure you're okay.
And scene. So I would reply, but there's no way that I would be mad if someone came to me with that level of care.
Okay.
I think that's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you can tell the person that you want the best for them and you kind of can own that it might be your fault, how can anyone stay mad at you?
I mean, I agree.
I think definitely that's something that he can say to Milwaukee to open up the door of communication.
Yeah.
Other than that, like the whole pool girl is like, I get it. I for sure get it. Because like it sucks to say and to think. And I guess, I mean, like I'm a single woman, very single woman.
I'm a single woman.
The rest of the podcast is me sobbing. Like as a single person, I can say this with being like objective and true. But like even if you're in a relationship, you don't stop looking at other people and being like, that is a handsome guy, that's a pretty girl, or like feeling a connection.
Mm-hmm.
That's biological and you can't help that. That's literally you being an alive human.
100%.
Which sucks to think about because you want to be like the only one that they have eyes for.
Of course.
But like they did choose you. So
yeah. And I'm sure that they would choose you again.
Of course. So that's something to keep in mind.
So my bad piece of advice.
Oh my God.
Was I could have just let myself off the hook, but I decided not to.
I want to be hooked.
I was going to say, let's say he tries to communicate with her and let's say it goes poorly. Let's say she's like, I honestly have no fucking idea. Like if she's not giving you anything,
mm-hmm.
I would say aggressive honesty might be a good way to go and to be like, hey.
Ugh, I'm nervous.
Deborah.
Milwaukee. It's her actual name. It's written right here. I forgot to read that
part. They tried to keep it anonymous, but I'm not. Hey, Milwaukee. I want to tell you something. I know that we've been having like kind of a rough time in bed lately and like, you know, stuff has been hard for us to connect.
Oh.
But I want to tell you that the last time I felt really wanted and very sexy was
right.
When I was at the bar with the guys and this girl came up to me and nothing happened. I want to be 100% honest with you there, like straight off the bat.
Yeah.
But she made me feel sexy. She made me feel wanted. And I understand that you're not feeling great right now and you can't articulate what it is, but that's also making me not feel great. So like,
right.
I know this must be hard for you to hear that somebody came up to me and yes, I played pool with them, but I felt really good and really sexy. And like, that's something I need you to know.
Honestly, I know you say it's bad advice because half of it could go awry.
That's the thing. In my imaginary scenario, she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And then she blows him. But like,
in my scenario, it would be like, then go be with her.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm nervous about.
That's why it is bad advice.
It's definitely some sort of advice.
It's gray area advice.
But like, it would elicit some response from her. If she's like, no, closed off, I'm not into you, it may like kind of turn her wheels to be like, oh crap, like somebody else will do this.
My husband's hot and like, I'm not really taking advantage of that. Like I should.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of married guys probably have this happen. Like guys that I've hit on that end up being married and I'm like, well, you should go home
yes.
and tell your wife that she's super lucky because you're
right.
hot. As a skillet.
This is how I imagine that. You're like the cool girl at the bar, and you say, you're hot as a skillet. He goes, my Uber is here. I've got to go. Oh, man.
But
you're hot as a skillet. Oh, boy, you're hot as a skillet.
But that skillet's not turned on yet. It's just in the cupboard.
We also live in North Carolina. You're a freezing skillet.
Because when I've had a boyfriend and if somebody comes and hits on me, they're like, damn, well, he's a lucky guy. That always like makes me feel nice. So like.
But then they're respectful after and they leave you alone.
That's true.
Because she knows that he's married. So just chill out. Like sometimes like this is actually a problem. When I was in middle school, I was.
Oh, no.
I was always like how I am now, like gregarious. And when I'm out with people or like meeting people for the first time, I like am nice and make them feel good. And I always had like really close guy friends. Mm-hmm. And every time I got into a relationship, a guy would be like, you can't have any of your guy friends.
Yes.
Because like I have a flirtatious nature.
Yeah, same.
And I guess I still have it, but it's just nice. I feel like people confuse flirty with nice.
Oh my God. I bet there are so many guys screaming at their cart, like their stereos right now, because I have that exact same fight with my boyfriends whenever I have them, which thankfully I don't at the moment. It's always, you're so flirty. Like, how do you not know he's hitting on you? Da 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 da.
That's the one.
Yes,
dude. But again, like taking some of my boyfriend's stances, sometimes they are right. And sometimes,
sure.
I used to not know when guys liked me. And I was like, no, that's my best guy friend. And then my boyfriends will be like, nah, that dude is like literally in love with you. And then in retrospect, I was like, oh yeah, he for sure was. So they are right sometimes.
That's just never happened with me where somebody's actually been in love with me. I've
never felt love ever.
Again, I have to go to the doctor to feel human touch. No, but. You are very much that way, and I see that, and to me it's being nice, and as I've gotten older, I've understood that it can come off as flirty, but I think that guys often, like, will think it's way flirtier than it actually is. Like, I can get it for the most part, but sometimes I'm like, okay, bud, I just said I liked his shirt. Calm down.
As I took it off.
Then I made out with him. I don't see what the big deal
is. I don't know why he's so confused. I was giving a very clear sign that I was just a very outgoing person.
Most spirited.
Yeah, I mean.
What was his, like, final question?
What should I do? The question of the century, my man.
Me every day. What if you're the pool girl?
Oh,
what would
shoot.
You say to this guy?
Why would I do that? If I was the pool girl, I would play pool with the guy. And then once I saw that he was married, I would just be like, okay, cool. Let's finish this game. And I must go. Because I would feel
would
weird.
Would you say, I must go?
I must go.
Stop that man.
I must go. I would just be like, I wouldn't even say I had a great time. I would just be like, dope game. Bye. Like,
oh, you'd be such a cool girl.
I wouldn't even like flirt with the line of flirting with a married dude.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So like, yes, this pool girl was in the wrong, sure. But like this, you, Milwaukee, liked it. Like he liked feeling wanted. He liked feeling attractive. And like, I get that for sure.
Of course he felt good.
That's my thing of as to why I don't think it would be the worst idea to tell Milwaukee this, not to make her feel bad at all, but to make her know that you want to feel wanted.
And maybe he can lead with that and be like, I'm going to tell you something and like, I know it's going to be weird and you're not going to like it, but I'm telling it to you for a reason. And the reason is because I want X, Y, and Z. You fill in the blank. I can't do all of the work for you.
I want X, Y, and Z. I don't know. Megan told me to say that. Who's Megan?
What about all the other? I give you A through. What is the next letter?
W.
I give you A through W, and you just want X, Y, and Z just because she comes along. I give you so many more letters every day.
Megan just broke her finger.
I know, it really does hurt. My next photo is with a splint on.
I'm dead.
But truly, it kind of is like that. You're getting all of these letters from your wife, but like she can't give you X, Y, and Z. And like that's what you get from somebody else. Thankfully, this guy didn't cheat or like take this girl
up. Yeah, good on you, dude.
Yeah, like, for sure. Let's like a round of applause for that. Because
maybe make that ass clap.
What about just some normal hands? It could be nicer with just some finger to finger action. Palm to palm. For sure, great job on not falling into that trap, because I'm sure if I racked my brain, I could find people that were taken / like locked down that would probably do otherwise.
Yeah.
So and it's good for doing that.
Good for you. Like, we're proud of you, my guy, but it's a scary line to want to.
Yeah.
So like, as long as you can, you know, figure it out before, and you've got kids, like,
yeah,
it's a lot to figure out for you. And I'm sure that that's so hard to navigate. And like, you feel lost and I'm sure afraid and unsexy. And like, she's probably feeling it too. Like,
right.
You guys are so close. Like, what you're feeling is probably pretty similar.
Yeah. I also feel like maybe they can do things together that might reignite that spark that
they found.
Go play
pool.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of hot.
You guys could role play. I mean, she was not going to want to play that girl. But like, I used to date this guy that sometimes we would travel and I would like meet him at a specific place, like whether it be a bar or a restaurant.
This is the sexiest thing I've ever heard.
And I would like pretend like I didn't know him. So like he'd be sitting at the bar and I would come in and I would sit next to him or like two chairs away to like start the scene.
Oh my God.
And then I'd be
like...
Would
you be like wearing a wig or something? Or would it just be like, okay, for sure?
No, it's not all out. I mean... It was like, I was literally texting him like, hey, I'll be at the bar in like 5 minutes. When I get to the bar, then I would sit like two seats away and then he wouldn't know I would like be starting a bit or like improv.
No way.
He would just be like, oh, Megan's here. But
That's dope.
I would be like, do you live around here? He would like jump immediately into the bit. And it was super funny. And we did that for a while. And like, I mean, you don't have to do that, but like something like
that.
That
just, is like
play,
a cool.
Just play. People forget to play.
Oh my God.
Your We're kids done. Are playing.
We're done with the podcast. That was everything.
Play more.
Truly.
Yeah.
Play in bed. Play in the car. Like,
yeah.
Just joke around. Like, you guys have kids together. You've
done everything.
People. Yeah. Fucking make each other laugh.
Right. I love it.
I'm done.
That's our show.
Thanks, guys.
Irene, thank you so much for helping.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I love doing this and anything I get to do with you. I'm so happy to do it.
You are my hands and my heart. If you have a sticky, while Irene cries, if you have a sticky situation or burning concern, email us at justatipshow@gmail.com and be sure to sign off Sleepless in Seattle style so we don't out your true persona. Also, rate us 5 stars because that's now how I accept validation. Bye.
Bye. I love you.
I love you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.